The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, gender, or body image. It is therefore not safe for work. It's graphic. It's for consenting adults only. Thanks for listening, and here we go.
But I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from nomadic writer Lacey Lou Winkleblack. Why does it feel like there's so much to do right now? It's beautiful right now. The world outside in San Francisco is gorgeous. It's like spring on steroids. And I'm worried about how much work there is to do because I will admit, I'm incredibly nervous. I'm getting my second vaccine shot first thing in the morning. And I've heard the second one can give you, like, some friends have told me they've gotten 103 degree temperature. Other friends have said they were laid flat on their back for a week. A lot of different reactions. And I don't know that those will be my reactions. I don't know if I have antibodies. I don't know if any, you know, all those things affect your reaction to the vaccine, but especially to the second vaccine. So I'm going to get my shot. Here's a pro tip that I learned from a friend. If you're going to be sitting there waiting after your shot, whether it's your first one or your second vaccine shot, take a bag of frozen peas with you because they make you sit there for 15 to 30 minutes just in case you have an adverse reaction to the vaccine. The person who told me this said that that pain that you get at your injection site, it can be reduced if you put it ice on it right away. So an ice pack, frozen peas, whatever. I'm going to take that with me. I'm going to take a big bottle of water. I'm going to bring my camp chair again because I don't know how long the line's going to be this time. But this time I have an appointment. The first time I was a walk-in. I'm excited because that means that 14 days after the second shot, I can probably go see my friends again. I mean, I haven't seen anyone in person other than my partner, other than somebody standing 6 to 12 feet away with a mask covering most of their face for, I think we're at about 13 months now, because I was an early adopter to this whole COVID is going to be a thing. But I will be honest with you, a friend came over the other day to say hi, and when they went to leave, they hugged me. And I was so surprised. I didn't know how to react at all. I wasn't worried about their COVID status. We were both wearing masks. They just walked up, and it's one of the things I've been afraid of with COVID. Like, I'm a hugger. What happens if your body just automatically asks for a hug? Or somebody gives you a hug and you're not quite ready for it. It was a nice surprise, but I immediately felt like I was going to burst into tears. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "You're the first person to hug me other than my partner in well over a year." And he said, "Let's make it a good one then." And he came back really slowly and he did one of those long, slow hugs that take like a minute. And of course I started crying. It's so strange to feel so distant from my fellow human beings. It's so hard to only see half a face. And I'm excited about the fact that that might be ending soon. They say that after your second vaccine, if it's been 2 weeks after that, you've got everything built up in your system and you can start hanging out with other vaccinated people without masks. And isn't that terrifying? Don't you find that terrifying? After so much time adapting to this, starting to adapt to not doing those things, I'm still going to wear a mask in public. I'm still going to keep my distance from most people. But once we've shown each other our pandemic passports and said, okay, it's been 2 weeks for you, 2 weeks for me, we've had all our shots, it's going to be in-person hugging time again. I miss cuddling. Honestly, I went to one cuddle party before the world shut down. And I am the sort of person who will go, what? Cuddle party? Come on. But it was so incredible. And I'm so glad I had the experience, because it's one of the things I've missed most. The idea of climbing into a pile with a bunch of friends and just putting your arms around each other and catching up while also touching each other, holding each other's hands. It's just, I don't know, it's sexier than sex right now to me. I'm very curious about you. Where are you in the lineup for the vaccine? Have you had your shot? Have you had your second shot? Have you gone 2 weeks past it? Or are you still waiting? I love it when people email me after listening to podcasts, tell me what's going on with their life. Because I don't like one-sided conversations, and that's what podcasts are. So if you feel like it, bodystorytelling@gmail.com. You know how to spell body. Tell me what's going on with your vaccine and your progress, and what the first three things you're going to do when the world opens up, when you feel safe again. What are you going to do? What are you looking forward to most? That cuddle party I was talking about, that's definitely one of the very first things I want to do. I just want to sit with other people and be and touch them. I am so ready for that part of the world to come back. I really am. Welcome to today's episode of Lube Facts with Dixie, brought to you by Uberlube. You know how I like to say Uberlube? It's great for all kinds of play, vaginal, oral, anal. Well, did you know that I have a sex act named after me? It's called the Wet Dixie, and it's when you use lube warmed to body temperature in your mouth and you give someone pleasure. Sex educators teach my method, the Wet Dixie, and I always tell them, you definitely want to use the right lube for this. And that's why I recommend using Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-safe ingredients. It's silicone with just a touch of vitamin E. It's made with body-friendly ingredients, and it's for everyone. But what makes Uberlube body-safe? Well, it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. If you've ever had an adverse reaction to lube, it's usually related to water-based lubes that get absorbed into the bloodstream. Uberlube stays on the surface of your skin and does not enter your bloodstream like water-based lube. And you can even ingest it, right? That's how safe it is. Thousands of doctors recommend Uberlube for its simple ingredients list, and it's widely used for people with sensitivities to other lubricants. Lube can enhance touch, and Uberlube offers just the right amount of slip while still allowing for that skin-on-skin sensation you crave. And after all that play, anal, oral, vaginal, it cleans up easily and there's no flavor or scent. Uberlube offers long-lasting performance when you want it, then it quickly dissipates without a sticky residue. It's latex compatible, so it's safe and effective for use with condoms too. And right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. If you're going to add to your magic moments, you want to make sure it's done with the highest quality, most body-safe ingredients. So remember, 10% off and free shipping. Just use the code Dixie at uberlube.com. I am really excited about this week's storyteller. It's someone that I adore from afar. She is a globetrotter, but I got to check in just in time to make sure I had an updated bio to introduce her, because a lot has changed in the last couple of years for this week's storyteller. You want to know who it is? Lacey Lou Winkelpleck. Isn't that the best name you've ever heard? AKA Lou, or Lilith's mom, was a voyeur in the storytelling circuit for several years before conjuring the cojones to take the mic herself. Since then, she's found herself hosting storytelling galas, coaching other storytellers, and studying, practicing, and sharing the myriad of ways in which stories of trauma can transform into stories of strength. She currently lives in Bali, but she's lived all over the place, seen all kinds of crazy shit, and is shocked by almost nothing. Lou talks to trees, believes in fairies, and insists that bonobos are more evolved than humans. Her mission is more love, less shame. This storyteller is Lacey Lou Winkelpleck.
No pressure.
Huh?
I said no pressure.
You're right. You're always good.
That's perfect.
That's perfect.
Come on. All right. I am wearing the world's tiniest black tutu, silver fishnets, and a corset that fits me in just the right way so I look like I actually have tits. I am feeling sexy, hungry, and very powerful as I have my knee-high black furry boots pressed against the chest of a very sexy stranger. I'm standing over him, trying to be all dom, but this man is 6'4". He's chiseled and stacked in ways that I have never, ever seen. He's wearing this like fitted steampunk shirt, and he's clad in all this Mad Max leather. He looks like a badass brunette Thor. I know. Or maybe even Rapey Rollo from Vikings. Anybody? Maybe? Yes. I knew you'd know what I was talking about. We're just going to go with Thor. So he's letting me dominate him in this moment, but my moment is short-lived. He soon reaches his thick, strong hands way up my thighs, grabs a hold, lifts up my body, and lands me down right on top of him. He then reaches his hand around, grabs my ass, and grinds his cock into my pussy. Ooh. I close my eyes just to, like, feel the heat there. And when I open them, he's looking right at me, and it hits me. Holy fuck, we're high. See, the thing about eating 30 hits of acid is, bear with me. There's a program to this. I've done this cleverly. You start with 2 hits the first night, then you go to 5, then 10, then 20, then 30. Build up to it. It's basic tripper math. Trust me, it works. So this is my like 4th or 5th night at Burning Man. I'm sure you could have guessed that the story happens at Burning Man. But it's my first year out there as a single lady, and that means something totally different than being out there coupled. See, Burning Man is like the sexiest place on earth to me. And then, like, for those of you who've never been to Burning Man, Reed cleared up a lot of it. I'm gonna go ahead and try and give some other explanations as to, like, it's just ineffable. You can't really describe what Burning Man is. And, like, the reason why you can't describe it is because it varies from day to day, like, who you decide to show up as. Who do you decide to be, and who do you decide to be with? It's that place that's, like, so incredibly shameless and unabashed and just wild. Like, okay, you know that part of you that you like keep in the dungeon because it's wildly inappropriate to bring out anywhere? Well, Burning Man gives that place a microphone and a stage and like invites it to just be as crazy as it is. So it gets fucking weird sometimes. And another thing that I love so much about Burning Man is like anything that you can imagine or like could never imagine, it's happening right now, or it's about to happen. Like a pussy shaving contest. I've been to one. AA camp is there. I've never been, but it is there. A giant two-headed fire breathing turtle that comes and sweeps you from one completely odd situation to a next. It happens all the time. It's not even a big deal. And like being there with a partner is so sweet. It really is. But I've always like seen my single friends off on their wild solo adventures, and they come home with these crazy stories about like fucking somebody named Liberty Cock or like Lust Bunny. I've met those people. I didn't fuck them though. Anyways, I just like wanted some of that for myself this year. And then there's like the sexy bit. Like sexuality is, you all know this very well. Sexuality is the part of us that we store all our weird bits. Right? And at Burning Man, it's a place where it's dirty liberation. And there's really something in that dirty liberation. And then there's also something that's really in that particular kind of Burning Man dirt, like that soft, silky, smooth dust that just covers every inch of your body. It just can make me wet just thinking about it, just remembering it. So it's my fifth night out there. I've done the proper acid prime, like 2, 5, 15, 20, 30, and then like, wow, was that math? Because that's a shit ton of acid. So I decide to like pop some ecstasy just for some good measure to keep me grounded. I thought it was a good idea at the time. It was maybe a good idea. I'm not sure. So I've got this thing that I do, that I always do, that everyone knows I'm gonna do. I do it without fail, and that's that whenever something disappears, or whenever something explodes at Burning Man, and I'm on my way out with my friends get distracted looking at the exploding thing, and I disappear. And it's not that I don't love my friends, because I absolutely do. Some of them are here tonight. It's just that I love my solo adventures. Like, there's just something about getting lost in the playa and seeing what the universe has in store for me, not muddled with anyone else's fate. So I've got this game that I play, and it's called Pick a Sparkle, which is not at all a creative name for what the game actually is. I just literally pick a sparkle and then ride my bike towards it, and it's awesome. Burning Man is just like littered with a million colorful stars, all going different directions, different textures. It's amazing. You could really just sit in one place all night long and just be mesmerized by the colors, like probably even sober. Maybe, I don't know, I've never, anyways. So this particular night, I just picked the biggest sparkle I could find, and I crossed my fingers, hope for the best, and I went towards it. And it turned out this night to be these gigantic oil derricks, which at the time were the largest installations that Burning Man had ever had. And I'm not sure exactly how many stories they were, but to me on 30 Hits of Acid, they were like way too high. But I still dropped my bike without thinking and got in line to walk up to the top. So when I finally got to the end of the line and I started ascending the stairs, my mind started thinking, I'm feeling the structure sway in the wind a little bit, or at least I think I did. And as sometimes happens on acid, my mind starts thinking and I'm like, this thing probably wasn't built to code. It was built by a bunch of hippies in the desert who are probably as high as I am. And there are no hospitals here. They're just perverts. So why the fuck would anybody think that this is even remotely safe? And as my mind is spiraling out, I hear this voice behind me say, I'll let go if you do. So I turn behind me to see this like leather bound, muscled, delicious Thor wrapped his whole body around the handrails. And I see him and I'm like, no fucking way I'm turning around. But as I turn from him, I notice that my body is doing exactly the same thing as his. So I look back at him, we both start immediately laugh crying, and we get to the top, and we're like instant best friend crushes, and I'm like, I think he's actually as high as me, which he was. We're like teasing each other and laughing at each other's really stupid jokes, and we're just being fucking adorable. So on my way down, it was way less scary because the butterflies in my stomach were confused about whether they were like really high or scared or just horny. So we got to the bottom and we got on our bikes and we rode off like we'd come together. So we're chasing each other, being all silly around the playa, just being fucking adorable. And finally we end up at this huge dome called Roots. Now Roots was fucking going off, like crazy flashing lights everywhere, people dripping from cages, really loud music. It was just way too fucking crazy for our vibe, which up until this point had been pretty like cute and playful. Well, built right up to the side of domes was this other much smaller, way more mellow dome. And when I say much smaller, it was still like way bigger than this place, but it was still this like giant circular dome that had all these really ornate Victorian beds that lined the outside edges. I think there was like 12 of them, and they were lining the outside edge like numbers would on a clock. And in the middle of the dome, there was this one extra special ornate bed that was elevated up like a stage. Yeah, totally. So Thor and I just walked in there and we froze, trying to take it all in. The eroticism of this place was like thick and just hit us in this really visceral, almost palatable way. And like, I've always kind of had a yoner for vampires. Anybody? Thank you. And just the like the romantic Victorian styles of these four-poster beds, just like, it was like a literal scene out of a fantasy of mine. So there was also this extra element where like and girls, you can relate to this. When you're riding a bike, it's pretty much crushing pressure right on your cunt. So when you get off, that girl is buzzing, right? So I'm standing there and I'm like taking in the erotic, this erotic place, this like beating between my legs. I'm breathing with this energy rapidly changing from like schoolgirl getting her pigtails pulled to like, wow, I feel that Burning Man dust on my skin, and I'm tangling my fingers in my fishnets, and slowly but surely Thor comes behind me and puts his big, thick fingers right on my shoulders and starts breathing down my neck. So you know that moment when you're like, it's on, it's on. I slowly back my body up into his, and then I back a little further, slipping my foot right behind his so that I trip him back on that first bed that's right by that door where we came in. I flip around, I straddle him, and then he immediately whips his hand around and smacks me in the ass. So I instinctually just whip my hand around and smack him in the face, which I thought, for sure, I thought that was a bad move at first. Oh shit. But his face was shocked at first, but then he quickly changed his tune and got the little smirk on his face, starts eyeing me like I'm the most delicious thing he's ever seen. He grabs my wrists, he pulls me down on top of him, and then tries to twist around so that he gets on top of me. Now, I'm pretty strong and flexible at this point in my life, so I gave this power play my all, but it was Thor. So I had to like switch from fighting him with all my might to like using what I got and like rubbing my tits in his face till he lost his guard a little bit. Then I push myself up and I'd run away. So I'm running away and I feel my head pop back as he's grabbed my hair and he's thrown me onto the dusty ground. I flip my body around and I claw my way up his body, tearing the shit out of his shirt on my way up. I get him on his knees, grab his head, shove it in my pussy, grind it around a little bit, and then walk away like I don't give a fuck. Right? That happens. So he gets up and he follows me, of course, and we do this thing, this like cat and mouse chase, this like prey and prowess, like clawing, fighting, biting, scratching, breathing heavy, just gnarly, grinding around on all these beds. We make our way 12 beds around the whole place. Yeah, it was amazing. Somehow we've wound our way up into that stage right in the middle of the place. By this time, our hair is a mess. We're bleeding. Our super expensive clothes are torn to shreds. Juice is dripping down both of our legs. We're both just like, every muscle in our body is tight. My tits are hard. We're just like, oh, I want to eat each other. Just like, you know what I'm talking about? That feeling, just like nothing but, yeah. Whew. So I remember this one particular moment where he's up on the stage, he's on his knees, he's lifted my body up so that he's biting my inner thigh, and I can feel that like hot, wet mouth right there. And then he slams my body down, he holds my body down with his strong hands, and then he grinds his body up mine, pressing down in all the right places, letting me feel his hot breath working its way up my body, until his face is almost next to mine. And you know that moment when you're like, dick now, bitch. And I think I might have actually said that out loud. It happens. When I open my eyes, he's right there and our eyes lock and something happens. Suddenly we're fucking sober, like super sober and like, who the fuck are you and how did I get here? And oh my God, where are my clothes? Like, holy shit. So we both just start awkwardly like grabbing our things, like putting the shreds of our clothing back together. And then like, we're on stage. There are hundreds of people watching us. Every single one of those beds had people fucking on it, looking at us for cues. So this is like a wet dream of mine. Like, yes, I'm an exhibitionist. This is amazing. But I was so high in that like abrupt change in energy and awareness was way too much for me to process in my little fried brain. And fortunately, Thor was on the same page as me. We just like grabbed our shit and we're holding hands and we run down. And as we're leaving the dome, the whole place erupts in applause. Right? Oh, she's like, wet dream come true. We just look at each other and we're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Hold hands, run all the way back to his tent. We get back to its tent and we're just looking at each other and we're like, holy fuck, that happened. And suddenly he's not Thor anymore. And I'm not Super Lou. I think his name was Brandon or something. side note. So like after all that, I'm like, I think it would be rude to not at least try the dick. Right? So I did, and it was totally all right. It was like, fine. I mean, I could sure as shit use some of that Thor cock in my life right about now. But that wasn't the point. Like, sure, we had the dick and the pussy part. Like, it wasn't the point. The point was, I picked a sparkle. I went for it. It was amazing. And I try and remember that in my regular life every day. Like, every day we get caught in our thing and we're doing our thing, same steps as last as yesterday. We're doing the same thing. And every day the world's throwing us sparkles. Every single day. And what would happen if we just, like, that one and go for it? Like, it might not end in the amazing climax that you thought it was going to be, but it sure as shit make for a great story.
Song was Adventure of a Lifetime by Coldplay. You have heard about how great the Body Storytelling live stream is. I get rave reviews for this thing. People feel so much less alone in their homes. Plus, they get the added benefit of maybe buying a voyeur ticket, laying in bed naked, listening to dirty stories. They can be an exhibitionist, get dressed up in leather or their fursona or sexy pajamas or anything like that. It's an excuse to dress up that you haven't had in over a year. Whichever ticket you get, it's a phenomenal show. True stories, lively, original, pervy songs, prizes, more. Oh, and applause titties. There's definitely applause titties at every show. Our next live stream is going to be on Saturday, April 17th. It starts at 7 p.m. Pacific time, and we have people who set their alarm clocks and get up in the middle of the night, no matter where they are, to join us. That's how good it is. Get your ticket as soon as possible. Our last one, we almost completely sold out. And I would really love to know that you're there with us. There's a link in the show notes to buy your tickets. And I'll see you on April 17th. As a live event producer, I do everything I can to stay on top of what's going on with the pandemic, with quarantine, and the vaccine. And all signs point to we are a long way away from being able to gather in the sort of numbers that turn out for Body Storytelling's live show. And that means I really need your help. It's been like 13 months now, and live events were my income. So whatever you can give right now makes a huge difference in keeping this thing going. And if you look in the show notes, there's a link to our Venmo, our PayPal, we have Zelle, we have Square, you name it, there's a way to keep Body going. Best of all is Patreon, because Patreon is recurring income. And in exchange, you get phenomenal rewards. You get free live stream tickets, you get ad-free podcast episodes, you get special events that I throw. I'm working on a Body Slam right now. We've recently done a storytelling open mic. I'm working on new storytelling workshops exclusively for patrons, and so much more. And guess what? The live stream replay, like maybe that last one where we had Margaret Cho on the live stream, that lives exclusively on Patreon. So Patreon is a fantastic way to ensure that Body's going to be around when the world opens up again. Go to patreon.com/body. If not Patreon, Venmo, PayPal, whatever. Buy a butt plug. All of it helps. And thanks in advance for your support. Well, that's our time for this week. But before I go, I want to say thank you to the team that makes the podcast possible. Thank you to David Grossoff, to Donal Mooney, to Mosa Maxwell-Smith, to Joe Moore, and most of all, thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical director, Marty Garcia. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delator. This has been episode 168 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.